Today's episode, I'm excited to interview Karen Hurt and David Dye, co-authors of an extremely timely book, Courageous Cultures. Karen and David help leaders achieve breakthrough results without losing their soul. They're the founders of Let's Grow Leaders, an international leadership development and training firm. They're also the award-winning authors of Courageous Cultures, How to Build Teams of Micro Innovators, Problem Solvers, and Customer Advocates, and Winning Well, A Manager's Guide to Getting Results Without Losing Your Soul. Karen is a top leadership consultant and CEO of Let's Grow Leaders. A former Verizon Wireless executive, she was named to Inc. magazine's list of great leadership speakers. David is a former executive, elected official, and president of Let's Grow Leaders. Karen and David are committed to their philanthropic initiative, Winning Wells, Building Clean Water Wells for the People of Cambodia. And their clients include Amazon, Microsoft, the USAA, National Institute of Health, K-Force, and the University of Florida Health System. Welcome, David and Karen, to my podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's such a pleasure to be with you.
I'm equally delighted. It's really great to have you here. And I know your mission is to build high-performance cultures where people are motivated to contribute their best work and where they get rewarded for it. And I do a lot of this with clients, both executives and people on the other end, who are striving to develop their narrative, their professional narrative that will showcase why they're the right fit and why they're worthy of a particular role. And a lot of it really does come down to the times when they have spoken up and made a difference and found a way to identify the needs of their employer and think like an owner, either making their employer money or saving their employer money. So I'm just so intrigued by many of the ideas in your book, but it's also so clearly laid out. I love the way you focus on empowering leaders with practical strategies to empower their people. And when your method works, there seems to be a continuous positive cycle of people speaking up, sharing ideas, and then management properly handling those ideas, which ultimately leads to increased employment, engagement, and more innovation. So to start, I'd love to hear, you know, Karen or David, I don't know who you'd like to start first, but your definition of a courageous culture.
Yeah, our favorite definition of culture comes from Seth Godin, where he says, people like us do things like this. So in a courageous culture, people like us speak up, they share ideas. The default is to contribute. It's a culture where silence isn't safe and effort is everything.
Mm-hmm. I like that. David, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, there are some, you know, the default human nature in all the research that we did around courageous cultures is safe silence is a default position, right? And so for leaders to build a courageous culture is very possible, but it does take effort and awareness of what holds people back from contributing.
Mm-hmm. Great. I hope we'll get to that in this podcast. Could we kind of narrow it into two top methods for leaders who aspire to create a courageous culture? Could you offer up two examples of methods?
Yeah, so it starts really with clarity, and clarity around two things. One, that you really do want people speaking up, and you need to communicate that. We say five times five different ways, you know, that you don't just tell people, hey, I have an open door, but hey, I really need your ideas around this particular topic. So that's first thing is being clear that you want ideas. The second is what a good idea would accomplish. So not just bring your best ideas to improve the business, but you know what? Right now, during this crazy time that we're dealing with, I need ideas about how we can be more productive working from home, or I need ideas about how we can maintain your sanity from a work-life balance perspective, even though we're in the middle of this massive pivot. You know, so that starts with clarity. And then we have a number of techniques around then curiosity.
Yeah, and so when you get into curiosity, one of the critical things you can do is to ask what we call a courageous question. And so Karen just gave an example of one, but courageous questions differ from kind of a blithe and insipid, I'd love to hear your ideas. No, they're specific and they're vulnerable. Specific in the sense that you're picking a very clear, precise topic, like, you know, employee engagement or work from home realities or how to connect and deliver value to our customer in this moment or whatever it is. And then vulnerable in that you are in the asking of the question, acknowledging that improvement is possible. And so, you know, just a couple quick examples of courageous questions. What's the one example that we got from a call center, a chief operating officer named Don? He said, I like to ask my team, what's one of our policies that just sucks? And these customer service reps, they're finding out the answer to that question every day as they talk to customers. And so as he surfaces those, they're able to solve them and improve their customer service. You know, another example would be what's one thing that if we don't address it, could potentially sabotage this project. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's specific and it's vulnerable. It assumes that improvement is possible and that makes it safe for people to answer the question. Mm-hmm. So you get clear, you get curious, and then you want to make sure that you're responding with regard. And that is, as people contribute their ideas to build that momentum and continue the energy, and as you said earlier, to handle them appropriately, it's three things. Respond with gratitude, information, and an invitation. Gratitude, mm-hmm. did the work and they contributed. Information, whichever, if they need more data, they need a clearer path, they need to know what's happening strategically in other aspects of the organization, add that. And then invitation, which is to invite them to continue thinking and to continue contributing.
Mm-hmm. And it requires a person of emotional maturity, like you said, someone who can be vulnerable and say, you know, what really sucks here? And it really gets people to see that they really mean it. Especially, have you found in your practice that when they see other people and they're given examples of other people who've spoken up and been rewarded or acknowledged or recognized somehow, that also encourages kind of a culture of positive contagion, if you will?
Absolutely. And that's part of what we intended with the writing of Courageous Cultures is for ways to make it very visible. So for example, we just got out of a very big meeting with a large client who has been, they came up with five areas where they need great ideas. And we took them through our Own the Ugly process to help vet those ideas, to really think through these really tough challenges. And now tomorrow we'll go back and have them really flesh out and build a case for their solutions. And so we're introducing them through, taking them through you know, five different tools and techniques, but they're doing it together. And then all these leaders can then go back and use these tools with their teams as well. And so that it's very, very public, this whole, you know, idea, inspiration rally kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. You know, I did find it fascinating that you don't encourage leaders to shoot for remarkable innovations, but rather you advise them to build a courageous culture to build many micro innovations. So I'm wondering if you could explain or give one example of a micro innovation that's benefited a firm.
Yeah. So interestingly, there's a hospital that we were working with. And one of the things that they were sharing with us is they did a workaround workout, right? And so this is where you're coming up with what are all the workarounds that we have? And now from here, how do we then make those, which of these are things that are bad, we shouldn't be working around, and which of them are good, right? And so where are the best practices in here? And, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as something like in a nurse's station, there's a big health rule that you cannot leave your water bottle on the nurse's station, right? Because somebody could come and put a specimen next to the bottle. You've got a massive health risk for the nurses. And so the micro innovation was making new places that make it easy for people to still be able to access the water bottle.
Yeah.
Now, that's such a small little thing, right? Mm-hmm. But the level of dissatisfaction, because where the nurses were like, oh, in all of this, a drink of water, right? That became something that was very important, A, for their health, and B, for their engagement.
Yeah, you can spend a year trying to find a big blue ocean game-changing strategy, or you could spend that same year, and every team can do this, making one micro-innovation every day that's going to possibly change things by the end of the same time period.
Terrific. Well, could you go back to UGLY? Because I thought that was really interesting. I love you have these acronyms. What's ULY? Could you please just share with us?
Yeah, UGLY is a way to have strategic conversations to surface and uncover opportunities. So U stands for what are we underestimating? G is what's got to go. L is where are we losing? And Y is where are we missing the yes? And so you pick a topic. So with regard to engaging our remote employees or with regard to delivering value to customers in this moment, and then you ask those questions. What are we underestimating? What's got to go? Where are we losing? Where are we missing the yes? And in that conversation, your team will surface typically two or three themes or ideas that you can then follow up with and make some real progress on a meaningful improvement, whether it's solving a problem, delivering better customer service, whatever it is, that you wouldn't have had if you hadn't have asked those questions.
And it's so simple, right? And so you can give every person, you know, you can divide your group and have one take U, one take G, one take L, one take Y, or you could do it together, but it's fast. I mean, we just did this today. Within 20 minutes, the ideas that were coming out, simple questions. And you know, the senior leader was texting me. He's like, this is so amazing how deep this discussion gets just with these four simple questions.
You have many of those acronyms in the book, and it really does help make the strategies clear and easy to integrate. So kudos on that level. My last question, you mentioned in the book that people are wired to think of worst outcomes. And therefore, if you're speaking up, you know, that sometimes reminds us of times where perhaps a person's had a really negative experience. But with unemployment as high as it is today, the common understanding is if you have a job, you're lucky. So needless to say, I think we'd all agree there's anxiety in the air around unemployment and around employment, I should say. And people I talk to are apprehensive, particularly now, to speak up. So I know I'm pushing the edges here a little bit, but I just wanted to be real with you guys. And I know that you've already probably addressed this many times, but and you kind of alluded to it, but they express that their bosses are busy, their bosses are under stress, because I've asked people, do you speak up? And so I want to know how you are helping leaders, particularly now, how you're helping people overcome this fear and lay the groundwork for encouraging, you know, new ideas and problem solving.
Well, first we would say that you're spot on, and that we have uncovered and seen the same data in our research is that people, at 40% of our respondents said they lacked confidence to speak up or they don't know how. And so that kind of reluctance about raising your hand, if you are solving a problem that matters to the business and that matters to the big picture, and that's going to help your boss to either have less stress or solve a significant issue, that's absolutely worth sharing. But you're right. There is a psychological tendency that people have to discount the benefit that would come from sharing that idea and to overweight some of their past negative experiences. So we have a tool to help.
Yeah. So one of the things is to, you know, teach your team how to think through their ideas. So you're being very clear that you want their ideas, but then you say, here's a way to position your idea. So we have to leave you with one last acronym.
Thank you.
Why is this idea interesting? So meaning, how is it aligned with where we need a great idea? How is it aligned with our strategy? And that's one of the things that we encourage employees, if they're reluctant to share their ideas, say, don't say, I have an idea because it will benefit me, right? Say, I have an idea, and this is why it's interesting. This is how it is aligned with our strategic direction, or this is how it will serve our customers, or this is how it will save us money. Is it doable? Meaning right now with everything that's going on, how can you position your idea in a way that says, yes, we can do this. This is not going to be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. E, is it engaging? Meaning who else might think it's a great idea, and how can you get them involved in communicating your idea with you? And A, what are a couple of key actions that you would recommend as next steps? So you are coming in. Now, who would argue with an idea? You know, you might not adopt the idea, but who would get upset about you bringing a strategic idea to the business, which you have thought through, and you've already got a couple of ideas of how the first steps could be taken? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you position an idea like that, no boss is going to say, hey, that's stupid.
Right.
Or, right?
out of here.
I fully agree. I mean, I think that when we encourage people and we see that they're trying to bring creative ideas that are targeted towards a particular challenge that we're having, we really, you know, you see their energy, you see their enthusiasm. And I think that shows their emotional maturity, that they have integrity as to why they're there, that they're not just there to clock in. So I just want to thank you both for your time and your expertise. And I highly recommend to all of you that you check out this book, whether you're a leader or you're someone who's seeking to rise to a leadership position. If you want to make a positive change, read Courageous Cultures, as it's really an easy to follow roadmap to build a high performance, high engagement culture around sharing ideas, solving problems, and rewarding contributions from all levels. Thanks so much for listening.